Today I wanted to focus on Caleb. And there in Numbers 14, verse 24, God declared about Caleb. He said, "My servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly. And I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." And some of you will know I'm inspired by Caleb. Maybe even more as I get older. He is an inspiration to an older generation too, isn't he? We still have value and purpose, each one of us. We still have more to accomplish. We still have promises that are yet to be fulfilled. And so I'm sure he's been recorded in Scripture as an example for us to follow. Because Caleb was described as a man with a different spirit. You see, he was more than simply one of those kind of get-up-and-go sort of people. I'm sure we all know people like that. They always kind of have some project on the go. They have boundless energy. They're a bit of a whirlwind. The kind of people that get caught up and make things happen. We kind of know those. We need those sorts of people. But there was so much more to Caleb than that. And we're given more detail about why he was described as a man with a different spirit. Because we're told he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. That was Caleb. He was totally committed to God's. He was an all-in kind of person. He was fully trusting in God. There were no half measures with him. It all came from this heart. He was wholehearted. He didn't have a divided heart. His whole heart was given to God. Caleb was one of the spies who went to spy out the promised land. And in Numbers 13, we read about it. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. And then he gives a list of those people. And from the tribe of Judah, Caleb was picked to go. And then we get more details there in Numbers 13, verse 17. Moses sent them to explore Canaan. And he said, "Go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land." It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So you see, this mission that they were sent on was not designed to assess whether or not they could conquer the land, but it was simply a mission that was to prepare them for the land that God had given to them. After all, they were being sent into what is known as the Promised Land. They were being sent into the land that God had given to them. And so Caleb, along with the other spies, spent the next 40 days exploring the length and breadth of the land. And as he went there, he saw how it lined up with the promises of God. It was a land of milk and honey. That was the way God had described it. It was all of that. And as he was there, he tasted the fruit. They brought some of it back, as you may recall. I'm sure he had a good taste of the fruit as he was going around over those days. He would have drunk from the rivers there. He would have, I think, he even discovered his favorite spot as he was going around the land. It was the plan to think, well, when we come in, this is exactly where I want to be. This is the land that I want to be living in. And so they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And there they reported to them, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. If you remember, there's that great bunch of grapes that took two of them to carry it, wasn't it? You know, it was impressive. They gave Moses this account. "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruits. In other words, they came back and the first report was, it's absolutely everything you said. It's everything that God promised. It's all there. But you kind of know when you get this word but, there's a problem that is just coming up. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there, the giants. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. They were kind of, their attention was being shifted. That's kind of important. But Caleb, he kind of sensed he'd heard enough of this stuff, and he kind of sensed that he was interrupted this conversation. And he silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. You see, his focus was not on the difficulty, but on the promise of God. God had promised them this land. And what they had seen confirms it to them. And the key was they had to keep their focus, their attention on God, and not on the difficulties and the challenges to be overcome. After all, this was God who had led them from the slavery in Egypt. He'd led them out of slavery. He'd opened up the Red Sea before them so they could walk through, and then he drowned all the Egyptian army as they tried to follow them. And God was present with them throughout their wilderness journey. He was visible there day and night in the fire, in the cloud. He was there. He came down to meet with them at Mount Sinai. He provided water in a desert, not what you'd expect desert. He provided food to eat, manna for eat, for all the years that they traveled through that time, and much, much more besides. This was the God, he said, this is the God who has promised. This is the God who can deliver. This is the God who will go with us. This is the God who will enable us to take the land. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw that of a great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. And so you see, because their focus is now in the wrong place, they refuse to trust God. They refuse to believe his promises. It's important that we keep our focus and keep our attention on Jesus and his promises. But as a result of that, as you would know, Caleb had to wait for 40 years while all that generation died out. But all through those 40 years, he kept hold of the promise of God. I can kind of imagine him there telling the story over and over. You know how as people get older, they tend to be a bit repetitive. Did I tell you about the time we spied out the promised land? Yeah, we've heard that one. Well, let me tell you again. And he would have told them all about the promises of God. He would have told them how he explored the land, how he ate the fruit. I'm sure he told them about his favorite place there. This is where we're going to live as a family. I'm sure he told them. And they'd have heard it again and again. You see, as the years have passed, and remember, you know, there's 40 years have passed, it would have been so easy for him to have let go of the promises of God. He could have so easily felt, well, yeah, that was great, but the opportunity has gone, life's moved on, circumstances have changed. Maybe, perhaps, the next generation might be able to do it. After all, I mean, during that 40 years, day after day, month after month, year after year, he saw all of his generation die, one by one. All his friends, all his peer group, they died. Until it was literally just him and Joshua of that generation that were left. And I know, you know, as we get older, we face the fact, you know, friends, our peer group, some of them sadly They die, don't they? Their time is gone. We miss those around us. And it affects us. But Caleb, as we remember, was called a man with a different spirit. He believed wholeheartedly in the promises of God. And then finally you find in Joshua 14, Joshua is now the leader, and they had entered the promised land. And we find that in Joshua 14, the people of Judah, remember that was Caleb's tribe, they came to Joshua, and Caleb was there. And Caleb said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and me? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly.'" I kind of like the fact that he came with a specific request. I think we need to be specific in our prayers, our requests that we bring to God, reminding me of the promise, reminding me of the needs. And I like the fact that he was claiming the land on which he had walked. Oh, he hadn't walked on it for a number of years. He had walked on that land. His feet had been on that land. There's something about our feet being on the land that God has promised. You go right back to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, "Walk the land. I'm going to give you every place where you put your feet." There's something about that. The land that God had promised Joshua, when Joshua was appointed leader to follow Moses, God reminded him of his promises, "I'm going to give you everywhere where you put your feet." And he would have walked that land with Caleb, wouldn't he? He'd been there. His feet had been there. He'd experienced it. He said, "I'm going to give you that land." And I believe that, you know, God has assigned land to us, land that is still to be taken, promises that are still to be fulfilled, land that we may have already walked, so to speak, but as yet haven't claimed, not fully entered into. And like Caleb, in order to position ourselves to receive it, our task is that we should commit to following the Lord wholeheartedly. So there he says, "Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said to Moses, 'Well, the children of Israel moved about the wilderness.'" So what I'd say is, as long as we're alive, the promises of God are still valid as well. In fact, you know, one of the reasons God keeps us alive is he's saying, "Come on, I've got promises for you. I've got things for you to enter into, to be fulfilled." And for Caleb, it had involved a long journey in the wilderness. But you know, that time wasn't wasted. He could have thought, you know, "What's the point of all this wilderness stuff? You know, I could be out there doing things." But that journey was not, that time was not wasted. It was a place of preparation, and it was a place of equipping for all that he was going to need when the time came. God's time is always right. He had a right time that they would be fulfilled. And that was true of Caleb, that's true of you and me. So he says there, "Here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." Well, some of us may not be as physically strong as perhaps we were at one time. Doesn't apply to you all, of course. But God intends that we are to be spiritually strong, and maybe spiritually even stronger than we have ever been. And part of that is because of the journey that God takes us on. The battles of life, and we all go through battles of one kind or another. If we press into God, they will strengthen us. They will equip us for all that God has in store for us. There are battles still to be fought, spiritual battles to be fought, for each one of us. It is part and parcel of the life that God has for us. And as we remain steadfast and stand firm, God will lead us into the fulfillment of all that he has for us. And so Caleb, there, as he reminds him of the promise, he goes on to say, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day." I just love that. Caleb, he remembered the promises and followed through after all those years. No doubt each of us, we faced frustrations, we faced setbacks, we faced promises that we had expected to be fulfilled maybe long ago, and they're still as yet unfulfilled. But you know, they are still there, they are valid. And he's saying, he said, "I had this promise given to me of this hill country." And just notice for him, it was hill country. It wasn't the lush valley, it was hill country. It wasn't the easiest of land. You know, if you ever watch Progress with Hill Farmers, you know, it's a tough old life being a hill farmer. Up there, you know, in the mountains, in that area, it's a tough life. Caleb had been promised land. It was hill country. It was going to be challenging. And not only was he given hill country, but it was a hill country that was inhabited by fierce and well-protected population. But none of that put him off. He didn't think, "Well, God, you could have given me a nice valley place next to a gentle stream and just everything just there at hand." He said, this is the land that God has given to me. It's hill country. There's challenge ahead, but God is more than able to give it. Caleb wasn't put off by the challenge that he faced. And as a result, he was able to take the land. And maybe for some of us, we might even feel, "Gosh, it feels like there's a bit of a mountain in front of me. There's another hill to climb," whatever it might be. But we're not to be put off by the challenges. We're not to be put off by the delay. Because God has a promise, and God will fulfill his promise. And so, as Caleb was talking to Joshua, I just love this. Joshua blessed Caleb and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. And what I want us to see is not only did Caleb conquer the lands, but that breakthrough, that victory, was also for his descendants. It was for the generations that followed. And you know, there may still be battles that we have to fight, there may still be land that be taken, but it is not just for you and me, it is for the generations that follow us too. God has a plan for you to spearhead the way that the generations following you, maybe that's your literal family, that maybe that's just friends of the next generation. There is a generation yet to inherit the land. And we just cry out, I know you cry out for your own family, and we pray about those things. And we pray also for the generation across this land that is growing up. God has a plan for them. And our prayers for those people, our positioning, our breakthroughs will have an impact for them too. You see, it would have been so easy for Caleb to have said, "Well, I was going to take the land, but now I'll just leave it to you. You know, the next generation, you can do it. I'll just put the slippers on. You can get on and do it." But Caleb was a man, as God said, with a different spirit. And I believe God is still looking for people with a different spirit, what I like to describe as a Caleb spirit. He's looking for those people that would take the land. And I just encourage us to look again at the promises that God has given to us and to see them with, if you like, that spirit of Caleb and to make plans to claim the promises and to know that the breakthroughs that are coming won't simply end with you, but they will open up the way for the generations to come. Because as you know, collectively we're facing significant change. And as I've shared, that this isn't the end of the road, but the beginning of a new adventure with God. And it includes the promises that God has spoken will be fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled perhaps in a different way than we may have expected. And perhaps that's been a stumbling block. We're kind of thinking, we've just got a picture of how they'll be, and God's got a bit of bigger plan, a better plan, a different plan. And we, wherever we go, wherever God takes us, we're carriers of that plan, we're carriers of those promises, wherever God takes us. Because in the end, we are the carriers of the promises of God. I just want to remind you of something that Isabel prayed over us those years ago when she came here. It just seems to fit with the time that we're in and the promises that we have and the heart of Caleb. So let me just read this a little bit to you. She prayed this over us. I want to release an impartation for restoration for every promise of God that has been lost or delayed. Whatever the reason, it doesn't matter. If you still want God, want it, God would do it. It may look a bit different than perhaps 20 years ago or 10 years ago, but God will still do it, for he doesn't lie. He doesn't retract his words. So in the name of Jesus, right now, I just want to call forth destiny. I just want to release an impartation for destiny to arise and an understanding of a revelation of destiny to come into every heart, into every soul, and into every spirit right now, and to arise as a reality that we are a people of destiny. We don't just exist and struggle through life, but we are a people of destiny. God made a plan for each one of you. For each one, he has a plan. So in Jesus' name right now, I call forth an awakening into your very DNA right now, and for your spirit man to arise and an alignment to happen in the spirit, soul, and body. For your spirit knows the promises of God. Your spirit carries within everything that you need for your destiny. God equipped you with it, and your spirit has it. It's your soul that doesn't know it. Your mind, will, and emotions hasn't found out yet. But Father, right now, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I call forth every promise to arise again. And for those that have been forgotten, would you kindly bring them back to remembrance? Father, would you repeat them into their lives? Would you speak to them, dear Holy Spirit? Jesus said that you would remind us of everything he said, everything he did, and everything he teaches. We are forgetful people, so we need help right now to remember. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I release an impartation for a spirit of stewardship, for stewardship to arise, the mindfulness and stewardship to invest. I bless you to be investors in the promises of God, to invest your time, to invest your energy, to invest your resources in what God has said. For he will add unto you greater promises, greater talents, greater resources. In the name of Jesus right now, I just take authority over every mistake that has been made, over any sense of failure or disappointment that has been in anyone's heart or mind. I break off right now all failure from the past. Father, we shake the dust off our feet. Like Jesus said, we shake the dust of rejection, the dust of failure out of our lives right now. And Father, we pick up your mantle and say, where is the God of Elijah that parted the waters for us and did miracles? And in the name of Jesus right now, I just bless you to become courageous, very, very courageous. For you people are conquerors. England is a land of conquerors. You people by nature, by inheritance, have the spirit of a conqueror within you. By being Christians, you have another portion of a conquering spirit within you. So I bless you to arise, to believe God's promises, to want them, to attain them, for it is God's desire to give them to you all of them and more. So in Jesus' name, I just bless you once again with a stirring for greatness and a depth to arise in every person. And I break off limitations right now. Every man's certain limitations, every single lie of limitation that has been in you, no matter what brought it, there are no limitations. God is limitless, and I am living that life. So I bless you today in the name of Jesus that you too will arise to fulfill your destiny, to be who God created you to be, to live the life he planned for you, and that everything and the favor of God will come upon you in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus. So Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for the example of Caleb who lived out the reality of your words. We thank you for the words that you and the promises that you have made to us individually and collectively. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are still in the business of delivering on them. And Lord, we pray whatever it may look like, wherever it may lead us, Lord, that we might see the full fulfillment of those words, that you will stir us afresh, remind us again, lead us into those places of fulfillment, that we might see your kingdom come, we might see lives transformed, lives changed, communities changed, the nation changed. Lord, we bless you for it. Help us to keep our focus on and attention on you. Help us to be reminded of the truth of your word. Lord, we pray like Caleb that we would be wholehearted for you, that we would finish well and finish strong, and that we'd accomplish and see the fulfillment of every word that you have spoken over our lives. The promises that we've carried individually, I'm sure, for years and are yet to see. Lord, renew them, restore them, fulfill them. Lord, bring us into the fulfillment and that we might live in the reality of it, that we would walk it out, that Lord, that we would inherit it and see your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.